God. I hope we don't have anybody in this house this morning grew up hoping that you're saved. That's something that you can know. If you have your Bibles, turn to Book of Revelation, chapter 1 with me, please. If you'd like to stand as we open the infallible text. Nothing enrages a worldling anymore for you to say to him, this book is infallible. It's your judge, my judge, the judge of all humanity. Amen. Revelation chapter number 1 and verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and of the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Father, in thy name, bless your word. In Jesus' name, use me, Father, simply as a vessel, God. The word does not proceed forth from me, Father, but from thee. God, use me in thy name, in Jesus' name. And amen. You can be seated. The book of Revelation, the last book of the Holy Bible, 66 books of Holy Writ. 66 books make up the canon of Scripture. There's only one canon of Scripture, and the canon of the Word of God is what God's given and inspired to us. 1995 A.D., under the reign of Domitian, a Roman emperor, one of many monsters that persecuted the Church of God, the book of Revelation was finished. So the Bible was finished. Thus finished God's eternal Word. Was finished at a time when God's people were being persecuted, suffering, hurting, dying, bleeding. For the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the book of Revelation unfolds for us the future. The first book in the Bible is the book of Genesis, Bereshit. In the beginning, the last book in the Bible is the book of Revelation. The Apocalypse is the unfolding into the future. So the first book of the Bible is from the beginning. The last book of the Bible is into the future. If you want to know what the future holds, open the book of Revelation. You're living in a time of today when the book of Revelation should be more alive to you than any time in your Christian life. We live in a time when I believe the book of Revelation is going to be fulfilled in your lifetime. The Apostle John was exiled on the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He was a true believer in the Son of God. I've been to Patmos. I've been to where he was exiled. I've looked out at the Aegean Sea and I've watched that cloud come down upon the water and watched it in its mysterious aspect. And I thought to myself, time and time again, what did you see, John? How did you see this? How did he catch you up in the spirit and caught you into the future where you were able to look down and see what happened on this earth? And he truly did. The book of Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 5 said, in verse 5, note carefully what your Bible says. I want to read it for you. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, to him that the prince of the kings of the earth, to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. I want you to note carefully, that's what the most important thing about the book of Revelation. 2,000 years ago, we did not have a magic man walking upon the earth. A man who simply performed miracles and did things and so forth. There's a whole lot more to him than simply what he did. The Apostle John in the book of Revelation begins to unfold to you who he is. He begins to reveal for you the essence of the Lord Jesus Christ, to tell you exactly this one that we believe in. Who is he? He said, I am the first and the last. That simply means that it all started with him. It'll all consummate with him. Everything that has to do with humanity and creation started with the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, it will consummate with him at his word. There was a time in eternity past, my friend, when he lived forever. I can't imagine a forever in the past, but there was a forever in the past. There will be a forever in the future. Think of time as an enormous expanse from the time that he called time to the time that time ends and is no more. It's just a little speck in that great sea of forever. Forever in the past, forever in the future, and you're going to be in one place or the other into forever. A little short lifespan on this earth is nothing compared with this one that is the first and the last. He said in Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead. And he said, behold, I'm alive forevermore. I think about the fact that he said, I am he that liveth. He literally said, I'm the living one. I'm alive with my life. It is the life of God. It is a life that knows no death. It is a life that cannot be killed. It is a life that cannot be taken from him. It is a life that is above all that. He must lay it down. And this is why 2,000 years ago, when God became a man and he died upon the cross, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. They couldn't kill him. Nobody killed him. You can't kill God. It's an impossibility to kill him. But he laid his life down. I can't imagine for somebody doing something like that. What a wondrous thing for a dog like me. Yet he loved me and he washed me for my sins in his own precious blood. As I read the book of Revelation and it unfolds for us the essence and the eternity and future for us, I begin to say to myself, my, what a marvelous, wondrous thing that I know a God like this. I live in the midst of people that soon will be panicking. They'll be running to and fro trying to figure out what's happening. And the Bible says the time will come when their hearts fail them for fear, seeing those things that are coming upon this earth. And it's here now. You may be living in a cave and have your head buried in a television set and all you know is a ball game, but I'm telling you right now, you better wake up. It's here now. It's already started. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter number 24, before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there'll be a time of birth pains. It'll be like a woman in travail before she brings forth a child on this earth. She'll be going through birth pains. In plain words, she'll have her birth pains. She'll have her hurt. There'll be a feeling. There'll be a pain. There'll be a preparation. And he's giving us ample warning that that day is near. It's about here. He said, I am the first and the last. Thank God. He said, I am all the one that started it all. I'll be the one that ends it all. It was all made by me and for me. And without me, not anything was made that was made. In Revelation chapter number 1, he said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And he said, behold, I'm alive forevermore. Hallelujah. A lot of you like to keep him on the cross. Some of you like to keep him in the grave. Some of you like to get rid of him if you could. Wipe his name from the history books. But you can't do it. I'm sorry. He's more alive than anybody that ever wrote a history book. He lives today. You see, my friend, this first century Christians were literally being burned at the stake. They were suffering horrible torture and pain for their faith in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that shall try you. And my friend, he was talking to people in certain terms about the fact that some of them were dying. And so the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation, he wants his church to know who he is. That'll prepare you for what's coming. Who is this one that cometh out of Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? Who is this one comes riding a white horse and the blood flying as high as a horse's bridle? Who is this one? The Bible said, I saw heaven open and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, that wears a crown and many crowns, and he's the King of kings and Lord of lords. All the gods of this world are going to begin to scramble and run and hide, for the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to judge them. You see, the spirit world isn't as stupid as we are. They know what's going on. And they know that a world is beginning to be upheaved. There's a great upheaval taking place. There's a shifting of power. There's a changing of continents. Old world is passing away, and a new world is about to arrive. And my friend, it's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to come down to this world, and he's coming in judgment. He's going to bring fire down from heaven. He turns the oceans into blood. He burns up the grass of the field. The dead comes up out of the grave, out of hell itself, and creatures that come up out of the pit come up out on the earth and sting men. And the Bible says that men will cry and beg for death, and death will flee from them. You say that sounds like some kind of a horror movie out of Hollywood. No, Hollywood never saw in their life, but the reality of the book of Revelation. You never saw a horror thing in your life like the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation said heaven is coming down and hell is coming up. That this earth is literally going to split asunder. It's going to be shaken from its very foundations. It's never going to go through a time like that it ever has before nor again. For the Bible said, except those days should be shortened, no flesh should be left alive. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming again. If I go, I'll come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come right now. At this very minute, amen. I look for his appearing. I have no hope in this world. I have no peace in this world. I have no stake in this world. My world is above. And I look for his appearing. The one that I serve, friend, is the King of eternity. He's the Lord Almighty of creation. He's the one that liveth from everlasting to everlasting. He's the one that's alive now with real life. I'm not talking about the stuff you're living in where you're going to drop and die and bury your body in the ground. Some people have never known life. I'm talking about a fire inside your soul. I'm talking about everlasting life. I'm talking about the life of God. I'm talking about setting you on fire. I'm talking about a life from above. I'm talking about something that did not originate with this earth. I'm talking about the very life of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, John. Behold, John. Behold, John. I'm alive forevermore. Hallelujah. Amen. When I think about one who says, I was there, I tasted death, I went into its portals, I let its gates close behind me, I let its power wrap around me, I lay solemn in the grave, I let the power of death succumb, I succumbed to the power of death, I went down to the very halls and walls of death, everything that death could possibly throw at me, I said, throw it, I'll take it, I died the death of all deaths. But I want you to know, on the third day, on that third and appointed day, on the third day, on the third day, hail my friend in death, and the bars of death, the place of death, the place of torment, the place could not hold him. For the life that came, the life that was born and bosomed in that resurrected Christ that came out of that tomb will live forever. Hallelujah. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. I'm 64 years old, and I'm more alive than some of you teenagers. Amen. Some of you mope around, and you got to have your electronics plugged in your head. You got to get on your social networking sites. You got to go through all that stuff day in and day out. And you got to be in the fidgety. How do I know? I didn't this and that. And I want you to know something. What I got inside me is not plugged into this world. What's in me this morning came down from above. Amen. Thank God for the day. Thank God for the coming. What a day that will be. For my Jesus I shall see. The Bible said, I saw heaven opened. And when heaven opened, treasure of heaven came forth. When heaven opened, my friend, it wasn't the streets of gold. It wasn't the walls of jasper. It wasn't the gates of pearl. Oh, no. When heaven opened, my friend, it was the one that sat upon that horse. That's where the focus was upon. And the Bible said, somebody followed him on white horses, robed in red, white linen, fine and clean. That's me. I'm coming right behind him. He's the captain of my salvation. I'll be right behind him. What are you coming for, preacher? Because we're going to come down here. And we're going to take the kingdoms of this world. We're going to take them by force, and they shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ. No bomb, no atomic bomb, no hydrogen bomb, no tank, no aircraft, no submarine, no Trident missile will stop the coming of the Son of God. He'll take that which belongs to Him. Amen. You say, I've never heard such a bellicose message. I've never heard. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the coming of the Lord. But before He comes like that, He comes to get us. Say, when's He coming? I wish I could tell you. When, what hour, what month? I don't know. I don't know. There's a fellow by the name of Harold Camping that's got the date. There's some date in May. What is it, 22nd, 23rd, somewhere in May. He's got a date picked out for the rapture. Now old Brother Camping may be born again. I don't know him too well. And he may mean well. I know all of that. But the problem is, the following day, he's going to be made to look like a fool when the Lord doesn't come and catch up His bride. No man knoweth the hour. No man knows the day. Nobody knows, folks. But I'll tell you one thing. He said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. I've never been excited in my life like I am now about the coming of the Lord. Oh, come and get us. What are we waiting for, friend? Come, Lord Jesus, come. Catch us out of this world and go to be with Him. In Revelation chapter number 1, He said, I am the Almighty. Oh, that comforts my soul. That's somebody that can read my heart. That's somebody that controls my life. And that's somebody that moves every obstacle out of the way. Ain't nobody gonna stay His hand. When God gets ready to do something, He's gonna do what He intends to do. Somebody said, well, I frustrated the will of God. I stopped poor God from doing what He wanted to do. And I'm sorry. You think awful highly of yourself. You're too big for your britches, as they used to say when I was a kid. Now, I'm sorry. You ain't not going to stop Him, friend. He's going to work everything after the counsel of His own will. There's a man out there right now waiting in the shadows. He's waiting to step out and, my friend, become the Antichrist. There's a false prophet already beating his drum, singing his praises out there on the West Coast. Whether he's the false prophet of Revelation 13, I don't know, but he comes awful close. When I've seen men like I've seen in the last few years rise to power in public office that I know are as anti-Christ as they can be, I'm telling you, something stirs inside me. And when I see a man who claims to be a Christian who's trying to unite all the religions of the world and bring peace on this earth, yet he says he's a Christian, what do you need? What do you need? And when I see the whole Middle East a boiling flames, friend, right now in the Ivory Coast, that's in Western Africa, they just found 1,000 bodies that have been hacked up and macheted to death. They're dying everywhere over there. They're killing everywhere. The whole Middle East is in an uproar and an upheaval. And when I see the nation of Israel come under the scrutiny of the United Nations that says this September, mark it down, the UN has said this September, if you don't recognize the Palestinians as a state, we will. Over the sovereignty of the nation of Israel, we will, they said. Okay, UN, get ready, son. It's not Israel you're messing with. You're not taking on the people in that land. Yeah, you're taking on Jacob. You're taking on Israel. You're taking on the apple of His eye. And He said, I'm going to make you the head and not the tail. Get ready, friends. There's some real power about to be broken loose, and it's coming from above. There's going to be a war that'll make every other war look like a joke in the playground, and it's coming soon. It's coming soon. That war is called the Battle of Armageddon. This world's getting ready for it. But here's the problem. The world doesn't have a clue who they're about to really confront. For when they gather their armies together, The Bible says they're gathering together where the eagle's literally going to come down and peck their bones. Well, they gather together, and the armies of this earth gather together, and they come together with all of their armament, and all of their bombs, and all of their missiles, and all of their equipment, and they come together behind the Antichrist. That's when heaven opens, and behold a white horse. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I can't imagine what they're going to feel. There's going to be some of them out there that knows a little bit of Bible. There's got to be a few commanders out there in the field that said, hold on now. Wait a minute. I remember my grandmother reading to me from Revelation chapter number 19. I may have a brigade behind me. I may have 25,000 men back here behind me. But there's one up here on a white horse. He's coming from above. You'd better get ready. What's happening in the Middle East right now, friend, is the precursor of the Battle of Armageddon. The world is going to be plunged into war. Somebody's got to make a peace treaty with Israel. They got to sign a peace treaty for 7 years to get the earth out of war. And that's going to be the Antichrist. How close do you think we are? If they're going to shove it down their throat in September, we're getting close. Because they, Jews, will not accept a UN mandate. It's not going to happen. You know what I think about all of that? Come! Come! Hallelujah! That's what I've been waiting on! Oh boy. I go home tonight and lay my head on my bed and I think, I may not raise it in this place tonight. Tomorrow morning may be morning for me. I may have seen the sun go down on planet Earth for the last time. Any regrets, preacher? Any tears? Any sob? No, nothing but joy, friend. Do you live like that? When you lay your head on your bed at night, do you worry about dying during the night? Do you worry about where you're liable to wind up if you die? You know, let me tell you something. I know that it's politically correct, and I know that it's popular to talk about everybody's got their own religion and their own faith. But I'm going to tell you something. That's a bunch of garbage. There is one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. And that's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't have him in your heart when you lay your head on your bed tonight, you have no more assurance of where you're going. You have no hope in your soul. But if you do, listen, I'll hand this earth to the Antichrist on a silver platter. I don't know about you, but he can have everything in here. Because he's only going to have it a while. And when the Lord comes back, it's done. I'll lay down tonight. I'll lay my head down. People a lot younger than me have laid their head down and didn't awake. They never awakened. It doesn't bother me. I just roll over and go to sleep. Hallelujah. Why? Because if I leave this world tonight, you know where I'm going to be when I wake up. That's great peace. Do you know where you're going to be when you wake up? What if you lay your head on your bed tonight, fearful and unbelieving, and you never raise your head again in this world? You never have consciousness, but you'll be conscious, but it won't be here. You'll raise up your head in hell. What a horrible thing. You don't have to go there. He hath washed us from our sin in own blood. Till a man's been washed in the blood that the Lord Jesus talked about in Revelation 1:5, he's condemned. He's wicked. He's bearing the condemnation of his sin. And the only thing that can remove that, friend, listen, the only thing that can take that condemnation away is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not a separate act. That is an immediate act at the very moment of conversion when you're born again. You're washed in his blood. Are you ready? Man, I am. Give me a button. Give me something to pull. I'd call him in a heartbeat. Say, I'm not ready, preacher. Nothing personal about it, but I'd still call him in a heartbeat. Get out here and get ready. Get ready. Are you ready? Father, in Jesus' name, I preach what you put on my heart. We're close. I don't know what else the church needs to hear right now, Lord. We're close. We are close. Lord, that gets me excited. Hallelujah. We're close. Jesus. Man, we may be rising from the clouds. We may be rising through all this into your presence before the sun ever sets in the Western Hemisphere. Jesus, in thy name we pray. And for Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. Let's stand up tonight, this morning. The book of Revelation, folks, is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Who is he? Who is he? Well, in Revelation chapter number 1 and verse 8, he says, I am the Almighty. There can only be one Almighty. If you had two who thought they were Almighty, they'd cancel each other out. You have one that is Almighty. There is none that can stand before him. He has all might. Have you got a problem today that's too great for you? He's the Almighty. Are your sins weighing your soul down and you have no peace in your heart? He's the Almighty. Have you come to the end of your road? You've tried everything and everybody. He is the Almighty. He can break any addiction you have in drugs. He can raise you up from any dunghill you find yourself on. He is able to save to the uttermost. That's absolute and complete salvation. Would you come to him? What do we got, Brother Silvius?
124 in the All-American.
The Almighty. Would you come? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed?
Are you washed
in the blood?
So
cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are you washed? Come.
Do you grasp these broken in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? Is the cleansing blood of the Lamb?
Are you garments spotless? That's the only way your garments can become spotless. They've got to be washed in the blood. You can't wash them in the blood. That's done by faith. Christ is the one who washes you from your sins in his blood. When he accepts you, he saves you, washes your sins away, forgives you. Then he raises you up from the dunghill and puts a place at his table for you. Sets you down at the king's table in the king's palace. And then he puts on top of that, he makes you a son of God. And with that, you become an heir and a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. My, what he does. My. Nobody deserves all that, but he does it for us. Let's sing another verse, brother.
When the bridegroom cometh, who you call me mine, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the vengeance?
Won't you come? Folks, I don't know of a I've been around a little while, and I can't honestly say that I've ever known a time where people are as crazy as they are now. People are just flat insane. A woman took a little 8-year-old boy over here into a gas station yesterday and shot him to death. 8 years old. And then she tried to kill herself. And I don't know if she's still alive, but at the time, yeah, obviously she tried to commit suicide and didn't, but I don't know if she's going to live or die. A little 8-year-old boy. See how crazy people are getting? They're crazy. That's what happens when sin abounds. It's darkness. It's descending deeper and deeper into darkness. That's what's happening. That's what's happening to the American culture and the world.
Amen.
Amen. The Antichrist will come with an apparent answer and with a false light and a false peace. That's how he'll be accepted. That's why he wants it to get so bad that the people will grab anything. Grasp for straws. They'll grab anything when it shows up. Anything. Anything. That's where we are. That's predesigned. This economic collapse was predesigned. Amen. All for a purpose. All right. We'll meet again, Lord willing, this evening at 6 o'clock for the evening service. I invite you to come, be with us. And I believe I know now what the Lord wants me to preach. You pray for us. Pray for the service tonight. Pray that God will glorify himself.
Amen.
All I want to be, folks, is a vessel. I want glory. I want just a vessel. That's all I am. Just a vessel that God uses to speak through. That's it. Does that, I'm happy. Nothing pleases me anymore. All right, let's have a word of prayer and we'll let you go. God bless you, folks. Don't forget now, 6 o'clock for the evening service this evening. Brother Rouillet, will you dismiss us, please?